When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments, so I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I wanna see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Plus, doorbusters for their Earth Day sale. 40% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hola! We made it! We made it back together. I gotta be careful what I say, actually, on the show. From now on, I've never felt this way before, but now I have to be careful because Bob listens. So when I... when I say things about Bob, there's a problem. Producer Jay, you may remember on Ask Amy Anything just a few hours ago, a few short hours ago on our hump show, you asked me about my next bucket list item, correct? And what I said was Bob ruined it for me. So get on a video call with Bob on Wednesday afternoon, and he says, what did Bob ruin for you?
No.
I know. I have to be careful. From now on, I gotta be a little more choosy with my words about Bob, because apparently he's spying on us.
He's listening in.
He's creeping. No, he's not creepy. Well, he's definitely not creepy. He is creeping, though. He's listening for information. He's picking up intel.
I don't blame him. I was going to say.
You don't blame him?
I was going to say, it's a good way to pick up intel. He's got it inside.
Does he need intel? I'll tell him everything he needs to know.
Yeah, I don't think he needs the intel. But, you know, if it's there, he's going to be a little nosy, I'm sure.
Nosy. Great. Now he's going to hear this, and I'm going to get a phone call about why were you calling me nosy on the air? Sorry, Bob. Sorry, Bob. Oh, my goodness. It's Wednesday night into Thursday morning. By the time we get off the air, we will that much closer to the weekend. I have no idea why there was so much traffic in New York City on the way in, but it felt like people are already celebrating the weekend or getting close to, I don't know, are there holidays coming up? No, nothing coming up in the immediate, so not really sure what people were doing outside, but it was jam-packed in both New Jersey and New York City. We made it, though, despite the traffic, despite the construction, multiple games to watch in both the NBA and the NHL. In fact, 7 playoff games on Wednesday night, so a lot to talk about. Glad that you found us yet again, or if it's the first time, hello! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Self-explanatory, easy stuff. Think we're going to end up throwing a question onto our social media site so that you can weigh in. Something fun, something a little goofy. No need to be too serious. If Dylan Brooks isn't going to take LeBron James serious, I don't know that you should take anything that I say seriously either. We'll get to that coming up. The Warriors speak in the wake of Draymond Green's 1-game suspension. And I got to tell you, I've been a fan of Steve Kerr as a coach for a long time. I do appreciate that he sees the positives in Draymond's emotion and spirit, but is also, of course, needing to admit once again that he crosses the line and that that's Draymond. And it reminds me of the old show Facts of Life. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of Draymond in this case. He makes some really good points And in no way, shape, or form are the Warriors, publicly anyway, decrying Draymond as a person, as a player, just recognizing that he does, in fact, cross the line at times. And, of course, the repeat offender part of this whole situation is why Draymond ends up getting a one-game suspension. But what Steve Kerr and Bob Myers had to say resonates with me. Draymond apparently did speak to the Warriors. He practiced on Wednesday and then spoke to the Warriors after the fact. Don't know if he apologized. Don't know what he said. The Warriors are keeping that under wraps. But we know in the past he's had to apologize to his team. You remember that whole situation with Kevin Durant when they got into the shouting match in the locker room and Draymond had to apologize to him for the fact that he essentially was yelling about how KD had already made up his mind to leave. And who was it Gary Payton? Who? Oh, Jordan. Yeah, it was. It was Jordan Poole. The one that did he punch him or shove him or, yeah. Gosh, that feels like a long time ago. He's had to do that too. And so Draymond, yes, he does lose his temper or lose his cool, I should say. The emotions get the better of him. And the Warriors recognize that. But there is no part of them that believes he isn't worth it. You'll hear that coming up. In addition, Tua Tagovailoa speaks extensively for the first time since all of his concussions and his time away in concussion protocol. And he admits he did, in fact, consider retirement. Remember, that was the first month of the season when he landed in the hospital. Really scary moment where his fingers and hands seized up, looked like they were in rigor. And it was clear that he had a concussion. Ultimately was able to return to the football field, but not for long. So a scary season for Tua and his family. But he wants to play football again. He wants to play at the highest level. He's decided he will stay in the game. We'll hear from Tua. Speaking of staying in the game, gosh, I've lost count of the number of surgeries that Tiger Woods has had to this point. Will he be able to stay in the game in 2023? Another operation. Starting the recovery process after this operation, which took place in New York, as a matter of fact. And right now, no timetable on returning to golf. We will give you more of the details as we have them, as we know them. And then a whole bunch of great stuff from voluntary OTAs in the NFL. Calvin Ridley, a new member of the Jaguars after his year-long suspension. And on the Major League Baseball diamond, did you all see what happened with Max Scherzer? I mean, he can be Mad Max anyway. When he gets those eyes going, he's super intense. And he is not taking his Wednesday ejection lying down, I'll tell you that much. Are the Mets willing to go to bat for him? Because he could be facing a lengthy suspension. So there's a lot to get to. If you missed my conversation with Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which does not take a break, he joined us live during our final hour Wednesday morning. And so because it's a completely different audience at this point in the show, we plan to bring back part of that conversation. Good stuff as we're now just over a week away from the NFL draft. It's April 20th. I do feel like time is going very slowly. That's me, not you. But it's April 20th. I look up and it's April 20th. Holy cow, I felt like I was just celebrating my birthday. And now, 13 days into the new birthday year. But that is the beauty of sports. It never stops. It's busy almost all the time, and that keeps us busy, not to mention all the traveling up and down the road. People keep sending me tweets and Facebook posts about the Grand Canyon and the hike, and I absolutely have more photos and more stories that I will share with you. I just don't have time during the week. So I got to get through this week first, and then after that, I will be able to download the photos onto my laptop and then turn around and I'm going to share more of them in a blog post. In fact, I haven't even shared them with my family yet. My Uncle Kenny and my Auntie Karen, who I saw in Arizona before we went to the Grand Canyon, they haven't even seen the photos yet. My brother, my sister-in-law, my nieces, my mom and her husband, they've seen a few of them, but not many. We have a group chat, so I sent a bunch of them on Sunday morning, but I haven't been able to tell them the story either yet. It's just been a whirlwind since Friday. And now here it's nearly a week after Friday, and I haven't yet gotten to that. But I will. So again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. You know Twitter, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We finally get our questions answered with a resounding no. Ja Morant will not play for the Grizzlies against the Lakers in game number 2. And no, Giannis Antetokounmpo, even though he was upgraded, even though he was upgraded to questionable from doubtful. So when we got off the air on Wednesday morning, he was sitting at doubtful, though I kept hearing and seeing that the Bucks were hopeful he was actually going to be able to play. Then during the day on Wednesday, he's upgraded to questionable. It's splitting hairs here, right? But he goes from doubtful to questionable. Apparently, hopeful was not really a thing. Maybe that was just a vicious rumor started to keep the Miami Heat guessing. As it turned out, it made not one bit of difference.
Crowder back to Holiday at the top of the arc. Jab step in on Strus. Now he spins his way into the block. Puts the shot off the window. And Goodwin's in the left hand again. And Holiday just looks like a different player tonight. And so does the rest of the team. The energy is just not even comparable to the last game for Milwaukee here. Here's a turnover. Passes behind Adebayo. Picked up by Ingles. He's looking to run. Transition three. Yes, sir! It's raining threes tonight here from Deer District. Minus the services of Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was a question mark coming into today. Another three from Ingles on the other side as he drills it, pointing to that cheering section behind him in that second row. He hits what is his fourth three-pointer on five tries.
Without Giannis, the Bucks were scorching the Nets from downtown. Not only Drew Holiday, who ends up with 24 points and 11 assists, Pat Connaughton, 6 of 10 from beyond the arc for 22 points. It felt like in game number 1, the Bucks couldn't get their act together once they lost Giannis. They did not have this kind of production. I didn't see the flow. I didn't see the rhythm. I didn't see the ball movement. I didn't see the leadership over the rest of the game. I did see stretches where Bobby Portis was really good or Chris Middleton would step up. But this is the Bucks with time to prepare, a total team effort. And the leadership of Drew Holiday, evident. Every single time the Bucks need him, he shows up in a powerful way.
As we've talked about it throughout the year, the silver lining, to guys not playing, to guys not being available, has Drew being Drew being more aggressive, and Drew, finding that comfort with getting to his spots, getting to his shots, getting to the basket, and I think it's carried over to when we are healthy too. He can give us a lot, and it's good that, I think we're trying to tap into it. I think he's gotten to a comfortable place and knows how he can impact the game.
We got a great fan base. We wanted to make sure we showed out for them. They support us all the time, and at the end of the day, it's all about the teammates. And Bobby and I talked about it at the end of game 1. We're here to win. We're here to compete.
We didn't think we did that in game one, and it's our job to make sure we lead the way as a championship DNA. We came out with a chip on our shoulder. You know, I think for us, when we've been most successful, we've had a chip on our shoulder. And that's why we wanted to start it. And it's a long series. You know, you got to play, you got to win four games, right? So it's about setting a tone and making sure that we keep that up for the rest of the series.
Oh, they definitely set a tone, as Pat Connaughton tells Bally Sports Wisconsin. 81 points in the first half. The Miami Heat are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You never know what you're getting with them. I thought that this would be an invitation for them to play their best defense of the season, potentially. But recognizing they could go up 2-0 in this series and take both games, especially with Giannis on the sidelines. And they give up 81 points in the first half. When it was all said and done, 25 made threes, not threes taken. 25 shots made from downtown. 25 of 49, actually. I mean, you would think James Harden was part of this game. 25, then they wouldn't have shot such a high percentage. 25 of 49. I mean, that type of production from beyond the arc, doesn't matter who you're missing, you're going to win those games.
Ball movement, playing with each other, sharing the basketball, and then shooting it with confidence. And I think tonight we did a great job. It started with our energy, and that's contagious. And so that spirit, that energy, we can make a lot of shots.
They had some good, clean, easy looks at the beginning. And then once they got on a roll, you know, they're hitting some tough step backs, stuff at the end of the clock. You know, anytime there was kind of a momentum shift, they seemed to knock down a big one.
They made shots, whether it be at the rim, in the paint. They made a lot of threes, and that's the game. But we knew that that had a possibility of happening. You know, you got to run them off the line. You got to make them miss. Can't hope that they miss. I mean, I just feel like we were not protecting the paint. Whoever was getting in there and getting layups, for that matter. It's all about putting body on body, you know, not slipping in space, being more physical, and protecting the paint. And then whenever they kick it out to the three, you know, close out, run them off the line, and do it all over again because they moved the ball extremely well.
Jimmy Butler, hope is not a strategy. You can't hope they miss. You have to make them miss. Butler ends up with 25, but come on. Miami, are you kidding me? Down by 36 in a playoff game? That's obscene. Sometimes I do not understand this team. In fact, most times I don't understand this team. They have great potential. We know what they can do offensively. Tough, physical. Milwaukee had more energy. Obviously had the rhythm offensively. But the Heat didn't do anything to disrupt it. It's not like you start out that way and automatically you're going to keep shooting that way. Now, they got the split, which is huge. But gosh, they were embarrassed in game number two. Maybe being back home, maybe pride kicks in after that humiliation. I sure hope so, but I don't have a lot of faith in the Heat because this is who they are. One game, they're world beaters. The next game, they don't even look like a bubble team. Oh, bubble, haha. They don't even look like a play-in team.
Hell no.
Hell to the no. Maybe they need more coffee. You know, Jimmy Butler was the guy who was selling coffee to all of his teammates in the bubble in Orlando. He was the only one who had the foresight to bring in coffee machines. Coffee and cappuccino, and so espresso. So all of his fellow NBA athletes who were jonesing for coffee were...
I'm a fan. I'm a really fan of coffee.
Me too. They were paying top dollar for it. I would have as well. Actually, I would have just gone on Amazon and ordered my own coffee machine, copied Jimmy Butler. It's not like he copyrighted coffee machines in the bubble.
after breakfast, you know, before the game.
All right. Coming up, Dillon Brooks does not care at all. Wait until you hear what he said about LeBron James. Grizzlies don't have Ja, And they give up a big lead that they build in the second quarter. So Lakers and Grizzlies on tap next. Later this hour, Max Scherzer ejected for sticky for sticky tack. I was going to say tack. Then it was going to go substance. It didn't. You know me. And if you don't, well, you'll get to know me. I frequently make up words. Brain and mouth are operating at different speeds and things come out horribly wrong. And yet, people think it's hysterical. I don't actually think it's hysterical. I don't think it's funny when people laugh at me and I mess up. But I'd rather you laugh at me than go listen to something else. So if that keeps you coming around, well, great. It's not on purpose, right? It really is. My brain is thinking one thing and my mouth says something completely different.
For Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake, exactly. From now on, that's what I'm going to say. For Pete's sake. And what did Trevor Lawrence tell us? You have 3 interceptions in the first half? Good.
No matter what happens, that's your response. Good.
Good. Just good. It's all good. Or as Jay and I have been saying lately, it's fine. It's totally fine.
And that's fine. It really is. It's totally fine.
Please tell me that we have room for... Before the end of April, we have room for a Hall of Flame induction because we've got Aaron Rodgers. Soon, we're going to add Dylan Brooks to that list. I mean, we've got some good stuff. It's fine. It's totally fine. No, we're not using the clip in which he talks about pooping in the darkness. No.
Totally fine.
No, it's not totally fine. We're not using that clip. Do you hear me, Producer Jay?
Okay.
We're not. And I repeat, not using that clip. I love me some Pat Pete. I don't know why I have this stuff in my mind.
Pat Pete.
This is how you know you spend way too much time listening to drops. So just in general, I tell my students at Syracuse that listening is a huge part of radio. It's the art of listening. But the problem is I listen to all this stuff. It's in my head that it comes out at the most inopportune moments.
I just love Pat P.
I love Mike T. All right. We're off to a rip-roaring start. At least I'm not the only one laughing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All right. Jones, right elbow, Grizzlies by 17. Lobs underneath, Tillman's all alone, lays it up and in. There's a man out there wearing number 2, and the Lakers have yet to guard him tonight. He's got 16 on 8 of 9 from the field. 9:13 remaining. Bane from the top. Hesitation move. Lobs for Jackson. Jackson catches. Jams with two hands. He couldn't quite alley-oop it. He brought it down. Jams with two hands. Grizzlies by 11. Timeout, Lakers. Jones gets a handoff from Tillman. Back to Tillman in the lane. Floater with a right hand. Over Davis is good. 21 for Xavier Tillman, and that was a beautiful play. 10 on the shot clock. Jones with Russell right there. Jones to the right side. Brooks tees up a three. Bring it up. Put three on the board. A second chance triple for the Grizz. Pushes the lead to 11.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My friend Eric Hasseltine on the Grizzlies radio network. Yeah, Grizzlies actually built a 17-point lead in the first half, only to see the Lakers come back in the second. And this is all without Ja Morant, so a bit of a roller coaster. And yet, the Grizz are able to hold off L.A. and even this series at one game apiece. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Huge game for Xavier Tillman. 22 points, 13 rebounds. Every member of the starting lineup was in double figures, including Tyus Jones, who started in place of Ja. You also had Derrick Brooks with a dozen points, and then Jaren Jackson with 18. So well-dispersed offense. But I'm telling you my favorite moment. Now, this was in the first half. But my favorite moment is when Anthony Davis slips the screen, drops down through the lane. So he sets the screen, and then as he slips away, he drops down through the lane. The pass comes in. He turns for what is going to be a thunderous dunk. I mean, it's going to be a rim-rocking dunk, only to be met by John Conchar. Do you know who John Conchar is? Anybody? Raise your hand if you know who John Conchar is. First of all, he's a guard who maybe gives up, I don't know, 6 inches on Anthony Davis. I could be wrong, but I'm going 6 inches. Jay, he's 6'5 in sneakers. How tall is Anthony Davis? Isn't Davis 6'11?
Yeah, he might be 7 foot, yeah.
Okay. He's given up a whole lot of inches. And so he meets Anthony Davis at the rim. In fact, I'm watching it right now. It's crazy. He gets up. He meets Davis at the rim. He gets a full palm on this ball that at that point is probably almost straight up above the rim. Davis never starts to come down because Conchar read it perfectly and met him at the perfect time. John Conchar, everyone. Jay, would you mind sharing that video on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS? He actually blocked him again a couple of minutes later. Two big blocks. That might be John Conchar's claim to fame. I don't know that he's ever had a moment bigger than that in the playoffs. So it was the defense, to be sure. But it was also the fact that the Grizzlies built the big lead. They were moving the ball around. They were tenacious about it in the second half, even though they got outscored, I think, by a couple of points in the second half. What they really needed to do was pick up the intensity, and they did that. Taylor Jenkins loves how they started out, actually, with a 30-19 first quarter.
The urgency, the discipline to execute our defensive game plan, obviously set in tone in that first quarter, 19-point quarter. When in the first two quarters, obviously you knew they were going to go on a run. I told the guys afterwards, like, when we lock into our game plan, you know, we're going to probably get the results that we want.
I think this team, even without Ja Morant, has got good leadership and has got fierce, kind of a fierce spirit, if you will. I don't know so much if it's the underdog spirit. Dylan Brooks has a lot to do with that. He carries around a chip on his shoulder the size of Los Angeles, and he doesn't back down from anyone. And that definitely does set a tone. Now, remember, this team is actually without Steven Jackson as well. Oh, Steven Jackson. Sorry, Steven Adams. Whoops. Steven Adams as well. And he brings that bulk in the middle plus the experience. And so they're missing two guys, not just Ja. But here they are now, 12-10 this season without Ja in the lineup. So, Jaren Jackson, what was the difference in game number two?
We had longer runs, doing the right stuff. You know, last game, they definitely had a bunch more runs than us where they were just, I don't know, more cohesive. A lot of dudes hit shots over there, you know. Dude, we got the ball to bounce our way a lot of ways tonight, so it was good.
You know, that first game, we let them get some easy looks. Looks that we knew that they wanted to get, and we didn't lock in enough and really try to take those away. Tonight we did a lot better job. You know, I messed up a few times there in the first half and the second half, so things I still got to clean up and hopefully take a few more shots away. So, but overall, I thought we did a really good job and responded well.
Jaren Jackson on Bally Sports Grizzlies. Bally Sports Grizzlies? That's what it's called? Huh. Bally Sports Grizzlies? Interesting. I've never heard of a network called Bally Sports Grizzlies or Bally Sports with the name of the team. And then Luke Kennard as well. Now, forget all of that, or don't forget all of that. But the money cut is, of course, from Dylan Brooks. And Marco Belletti's here in studio. So a reporter is asking Dylan about joining with LeBron James and about how some people say he should stay away from that because LeBron still has the ability to elevate his game and for stretches be the best player in the world. And so Dylan Brooks is by his locker and the reporter is asking him, you know, what do you say to people who think that's a bad idea to jaw with LeBron James?
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game four, game five. He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. He should have been saying that earlier on. But, you know, I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40. I pride myself on, you know, what I do is defense and taking on any challenge that's on the board.
Well, that we know, and he definitely does poke bears. He's not that different than, say, a Draymond Green. But I don't care. He's old. That is the hill you're going to die on?
I don't care. He's old.
I don't care about Jordan, LeBron James. He's old. Marco Belletti, who else does that apply to in sports these days? I don't care. He's old.
I don't know.
To me, I'm
shaking my head at this whole thing, and especially because he opened himself up. I don't respect anybody until you drop 40 on me. And what happens when LeBron drops 45 on me? Then what?
Then he's still
going
to
talk after that game?
I set you up so perfectly for Anthony Davis. I don't care. He's old. Did you see him? He hit the deck tonight. He had blood coming out. I thought, oh, it's Marco's going to love this. Yeah, he did actually. This time he got up.
That's the impressive part. No, I'm aware. Anytime Anthony Davis, you know, runs, you almost kind of like look at him. You all right? You okay?
You good? I don't care. He's old. Come on.
I mean, he couldn't shoot tonight.
No, he definitely could not. Who else in sports does that apply to? I don't care. He's old.
There's a lot of old guys, but usually when the old guy is there, there's a reason. It's not like a Udonis Haslam where he's old, but he's on the bench.
Yes. I'm just saying there've got to be other guys in sports that this actually applies to. I don't care. He's old. Producer Jay, what do you think?
Maybe Julio Jones.
Ooh, I don't care. He's old.
Well, I mean, we could have said this about Brady.
Except that Brady was still good.
So's LeBron. That's the problem.
Until the very end. This last season. I mean, Brady didn't have a lot of help this last year. It's not like he was bad. Just the offense and overall was bad.
Again, we're not qualifying that. He said this about LeBron James. Would it surprise anyone if he drops 45 on him in game three?
In fact, I'll laugh my butt off. I don't care.
That's what I mean.
Old.
So like
LeBron on his hands and knees.
I mean,
he will definitely do it with a whole lot of drama.
If you're gonna do stuff like that, don't qualify it at the end with if you drop 40. Because
I'll
you know LeBron.
You if you drop 40.
You know LeBron's gonna now take that to heart. So he's gonna come at you even more just to make sure that he drops 40 on you, which is just dumb. You wanna poke a bear, at least leave yourself open to just he's old, he can't do this, and then just leave it at that. And then have LeBron come at you that way. If you're gonna do that with a guy of that caliber, leave it open like that. Unless you're talking about, again, I don't want to pick on him, but like a Udonis Haslam, where you're not really playing.
Can we say that about Justin Verlander? I don't care. He's old.
He won the Cy Young. No.
Just last year.
Right, no.
Yeah, but this year he's injured. How about Jacob DeGrom? Right. Is he old?
No.
I don't care. He's old.
Oh, he's like 34. He's
okay,
not old.
Okay, but in sports terms, that's
he's
old.
He's not old.
I'm just throwing... He's brittle.
He's brittle. He's not
I'm
old.
I'm just throwing things out there. So Jay's going Julio Jones. People probably would have said Clayton Kershaw until the way he started this season. He's crushing it so far this year and just picked up win number 200. Come on. Who else? Who else in sports? I don't care. He's old. I can think of a few running backs that we could say that about. I don't care.
Basically every running back that's out there. Unless you're your first or second year, you're old.
No. Jay just said in my ear, Matt Ryan. I don't care. He's old.
No, he's also going to be out of the league, so I'm not going to do that.
Well, let's have a conscience then, why don't we?
Well, he's not playing anymore. I'm not going to pick on the guy if he's in a broadcast booth. Of course he's old. He's not playing.
It's good fun. What's the difference? It's sports. We don't take it seriously. I don't care. He's old. You can say that about me. I don't care. She's old.
Well, but you got to be actually playing, no?
I'm playing. I'm right here. I'm playing.
Yeah. He's old. He's 65 years old. Of course he's old. Charles Barkley. Actually, I don't care. He's old. Yeah,
actually,
he's
like, this might apply.
He's been sitting on a set for 20 years.
Here, I got one. I know, but he's still funny. I got one. So did you hear earlier, and maybe it wasn't today, it's just that I saw it today, the headline about how Phil Simms says that Tom Brady's not going to be good in the booth. Yeah, my response, if I'm Brady, would be, I don't care. He's old.
Okay, but that's not exactly what Phil Simms said. Let's not.
He just said it's above him, essentially.
He said he can't picture him in the booth and he doesn't think he'll actually be there.
That part. I refuse to take the clickbait. I'm like, who cares what Phil Simms thinks?
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
It was basically he can't see it in the booth simply because he's so good because he's Tom Brady that it's almost like he's bigger than everything. Plus,
right.
He doesn't think he'll actually ever call games. He feels like he'll be used at Fox. He'll be on pregames. He'll be bounced around. He doesn't think he's ever going
to. His contract is for him to be in the number one booth.
And what Phil Simms said, now, it's not me. It's not my opinion. Don't yell
CBS.
At me.
Simms'
opinion.
I'm not yelling.
Simms' opinion was he thinks he'll never actually get into the booth. He'll think he'll do other things.
Okay.
He won't call games for the booth.
Fox is going to pay him $400 million to do pregame shows. Are you kidding me? No.
I didn't come up with this opinion. I don't know what the contract
Again,
is.
I go back to my original premise. I don't care. He's old.
I don't care. He's old.
It is a little strange that they're letting him wait a year before he goes. So there is something a little strange about that whole
might be Brady's,
contract and weird
situation. You know, Brady doesn't do anything half-assed. He does everything with all of him. All right, so that's the question out there. Who else does that apply to? Who else needs to hear it in sports? I don't care. He's old. Or I don't care. She's old. Fantastic. This might be my favorite topic ever. All right, coming up, Max Scherzer.
He's old.
Yeah, he's older. He definitely is older.
No, he's old. You can leave it at that.
Okay, see? I don't care. He's old. I asked
Marco.
Guy's
40 years old.
He won't play along. Now he's playing along. Okay.
You got to pick a guy that's old. He's 40 years old.
I said Justin
because
Verlander.
I had a tight hammy.
All right, we're getting to Mad Max because he's mad more than he is Max right now. Here's our latest sports update. I'm not going to say it.
I'm old, too. You can say it. I'm old. I'm aware. What, are we breaking ground? I know who I am. I got a mirror.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Back here at Dodger Stadium, and Max Scherzer has been ejected from the game by first base umpire Phil Cuzzi. And for the second straight inning, when Scherzer went back to the mound, they checked his glove, and Cuzzi saw something that he felt Max could not have. And after an animated conversation, ejected Scherzer from the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I call him Mad Max just because he looks like he's a mad scientist on the mound when he gets in one of his grooves. But Max Scherzer mad for a different reason on Wednesday. And he's not the first pitcher to get ejected because the umpires believe that he had an illegal, unfair advantage via a sticky substance on his glove or his hand. But Max Scherzer, he's saying there was nothing untoward, illegal, or incorrect about the way that I was handling my business on the mound on Wednesday.
So after the second inning, my hand, it was a little clumpy from the rosin and sweat, that it was clumpy, and Phil told me to wash off. So I washed it off, came back out there after the third, with alcohol. I washed it with alcohol.
Not drinking
and rosin,
it.
And
washed
then I went
it.
Back out there. The alcohol for a little bit there can be sticky in rosin. That can happen. So he was like, that's too sticky. You need to go back on there, wash it off again, and reapply the rosin. And so I did that. And then at the same time, he thought my glove had too much rosin on it. And I was like, okay, if that's a problem, you know, there's nothing going on. You know, he's like, you need a new glove. Like, okay. So I come back out, pitch the third, and knew I was going to get checked in the fourth. So I'd have to be an absolute idiot to try to do anything when I'm coming back out for the fourth.
I don't care. He's old. He could have said that about the umpire. No, I don't care. He's old. So yeah, they actually made him change gloves. So he does. And yet that apparently didn't fix the situation satisfactorily in the umpire's opinions.
After that third inning, I'm in front of the MLB official that's underneath here. I wash my hand with alcohol in front of the official. I then apply rosin, and then I grab sweat.
When I then
go back out there, and Phil Cuzzi says that my hand's too sticky. I don't get it. Yes, when you use sweat and rosin, your hand is sticky.
How do you grab sweat? Jay, you're a baseball guy. How do you grab sweat?
My guess is that he like took his hat off and ran his hand through his hair.
But you grab it?
Yeah, kind of like massaging his scalp in a way.
Ew. Have you ever heard anyone talk about grabbing sweat before?
No, it sounds disgusting.
It does sound disgusting.
I would never phrase it like
and
that.
And I don't care. He's old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Keith Rad with the play-by-play, by the way, as it were, on the Mets radio network. And Mad Max wasn't done then either, even after he grabbed sweat and rosin.
I don't get how I get ejected when I'm in front of MLB officials doing exactly what you want and being deemed my hand's too sticky when I'm using legal substance. I do not understand that.
We'll let it run its course. I'm not going to walk back through that and everything.
Why?
We'll let it run its course. We feel pretty comfortable about what went on where Max is concerned. Well, he's using rosin, what's on the field, and that's, you know, it's a substance that's very legal. Wiped it off, washed it. I don't know. Phil's certainly been a guy that's been known for that, so we'll see. He just didn't like that there were rosin on his hand, and you have to ask him. You know, I'm biased.
Obviously, there's, there's talk of substance on the glove, on his arm. From my understanding from the umpires, trying to give him a warning, give him the benefit of the doubt, asked him to change his glove, came back with a different glove. But I think there was a similar situation as far as the substances that they were concerned about. So for me, I mean, that's their call. Then there became an argument and escalated. And so I don't know if it was, being ejected because of the substance that was in question on the glove or the arm. I don't know. I wasn't there or arguing. So that's kind of where we were at.
Now, it wasn't about the arguing. According to the umpires after the fact, they never had a substance that was this sticky before. And in fact, they even said innings later, it was still on their hands. So Dave Roberts refers to umpire Phil Cuzzi, who was the one that told Mad Max to wipe off the substance that was clumpy. And he did with alcohol in front of an MLB official. But he gets checked again. And while his hand was clean, according to Phil Cuzzi, the pocket of his glove was sticky. And that's when Scherzer had to get a new glove. But they didn't think it was enough, and he got tossed. Mad Max. I don't care. He's old. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
It's more than just your lawn. It's your fairway to heaven. It deserves the Kubota Z400. Class-leading speed, agility, a powerful transmission, simple deck height adjustments, and a quality cut. When you need comfort, convenience, and performance, then you need the professional-grade Kubota Z400. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Sync Farm Equipment, your one-stop shop for high-quality outdoor power equipment. On the web at SyncFarmEquipment.com.